Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated to Ili Nishmas, Recholeya, Bas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. Okay, so we are still in the middle of the Chafetz Chaim's introduction to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. We finished with his list of Lavin, and now we're going to move on to the Mitzvos Aseh. He calls them the Aseyin, the Aseys, that are associated with a Lashon Hara. We're going to start with Mitzvah Beis. Be'ez Hashem, we'll get back to Mitzvah Aleph a little bit later, maybe this class, maybe the next class. We're going to start with Mitzvah Beis for now. Mitzvah Beis in the Chafetz Chaim is Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Treat your friend like you want to be treated yourself. That's how Chazal understand the Mitzvah. Treat your friend like you want to be treated yourself. Obviously, it goes without saying, none of us would want someone to speak Lashon Hara about us. So if you speak Lashon Hara, you're violating Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Let's read it inside. Mitzvah Beis. Vorba Yedei Hasipur Hazeh Gam Mitzvah Taseh V'Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha Shenitztavinu Bazeh. We were commanded L'Chus Al Mamon Chaveir K'mo Shuchas Al Shalatzmo. We have to be careful about our friend's money like our own money. V'L'Chus, and be concerned Al Kavod Chaveiro U'L'Saper B'Shifcho, and be concerned with my friend's honor. And speak positively, praise my friend, like you'd be concerned about your own honor. Both the speaker and the listener, even if it's true, it's just clearly you don't love the person at all. It's not kamocha, it's not abba, it's nothing. No one would want that about themselves. This is obvious, this goes without saying. Notice the Chafetz Chaim does not say lifamim sometimes. This is every time. No one wants Lashon Hara spoken about himself. So when you sit down and speak Lashon Hara about someone, you're violating Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Now the Chafetz Chaim goes a little deeper, just a little deeper. And he says something as follows. He says, everyone knows their own faults. Kol adam yodea nigei atzmo. Everyone, like it's the phrase, has a skeleton in the closet. A person knows his own faults, things that he's done in the past, or things he's not so happy about. No one wants others to know about things that are, that he does that are negative. A nega means something negative in your blemish in your background. I don't want anyone to know. Now wait, then he goes on. Let's say somebody finds out some of your faults, and your friend goes and tells it to others. Let's say somebody speaks Lashon Hara about you, says something negative about you. You're hoping no one's makabel. You're hoping no one says, oh, you know, no one agrees, no one's makabel. Why? That you shouldn't be considered someone who's not a good person, who's not a perfect good person in the eyes of the listener. Now wait a second. You know it's true. You know more than what the person said. The person said a little bit. You know more about yourself. You know your own faults. You know more than what the person said. And still, despite that it's true, and it's only a small part of what's really true, you're hoping against hope that no one should believe and be makabel what the person says. Why? Afal pichein, meiro fa'ava shu oi v'sa'atzmo. A very deep idea. Because you love yourself. If you're a healthy person loves himself. Nidche hakol machmas zeh. It's all pushed away. I know it's true. I know there's more to it than what the person said. But I love myself. I don't want anyone to be thinking these things about me. Because I care about myself. Oh, it's a little deeper. So Cain, ba'ofen zem mamish, exactly like this. Sarich al piatoro la'asos l'rei eyu, l'chus al kavod b'chol ha'afanim. You have to be concerned with your friend's honor in all the ways, etc. This is what the Chafetz Chaim says. Ahav t'recha kamocha. This is pashut, this is obvious. If you speak Lashon Hara, you're violate about someone, you're violating this mitzvah saseh. You're in violation of this positive commandment. There are many mitzvahs and laws here. This might be the most powerful one, the most obvious one. Think for a second What if it was you? Someone speaks Lashon Hara about you. Like, it feels terrible. A friend of mine once said, a student once had a term, and I think it's exactly the right term. When you find out someone speaks Lashon Hara about you, there's a sense of violation. I have myself, I have my space. Why are you talking about me? Once around, I think it was 12 years ago, something happened, and there was some episode here in Eretz Yisrael, whatever it was. So I had a student who wasn't involved, but she was like tangentially connected to some episode that happened. So she finds out later that girls in other seminaries are talking about her. Girls she doesn't really know, like they're acquaintances. And they're using her name and talking about what she did or what she didn't do. And she said she used a sense of violation. They're talking about me for. What are they connected? It's terrible. Think if it was you, that you're the subject of someone else's conversation in a negative way. Why? A sense of violation. And I think this is very, very important. Let's just take a second to think about this. So unfortunately, sometimes you find a Shabbos table, there's Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table. That's unfortunate. People talk about Rebbe's, the Shul Rabbi, he does this right, he does this wrong. Politics in the neighborhood, what's happening in the neighborhood, who's having tzaras here, who's having tzaras there. And just think for a second, when this is happening, think for a moment, what if it was you? What if you were the person, lo aleinu, having the tzaras? Tzaras financially, lo aleinu, or some other tzaras. Would you want other people speaking about you at their Shabbos tables? No, terrible. Mom is terrible. And people just don't think about it. But like it's, and again, you have to understand, it's like putting salt into the wound. A person is having a difficult time. Okay, that's bad. And suddenly, his difficulty is the subject of Shabbos tables in the neighborhood. It's terrible. Mom is terrible. And this is a hatrech kamocha, and the sense of violation. What if it was you? Just want to go one step further about the Shabbos tables. There's a story that I'm aware of. It's in books. And I think it's a story everyone has to know. And it applies to Shabbos tables. And again, unfortunately, sometimes Lashon Hara at Shabbos tables, and there shouldn't be. There are many reasons why there shouldn't be. We'll get to a few more now. But at least for this, after Ech Kamocha, this is our Shabbos table. Now, let's go like this. The Shabbos table is where we are, the parents, our Be'ezus Hashem, like we're sending a model for, you know, for the what our family's like. This is where our children see us interact. This is where they're at the table. See, in the modern world, most people, most families don't eat breakfast together, running in, running out, together. Dinner, it depends. Some families, it's after dinner together. It depends sometimes people get home from work and the kids in school. Sometimes dinner, but dinner can be rushed. Sometimes you're rushing out somewhere. When does a person spend an hour and a half, 2 hours together with his family in a relatively calm way? The Shabbos table. So when you talk about being a model for our children, for others, this is it. The Shabbos table is it. Because that's when the kids see the parents and see this is what our parents do. When our parents have free time and they're 2 hours straight to spend together, this is what they do. So we're speaking Lashon Hara. What kind of model is that? That's the way we're training our homes. This is what you do. Again, because sometimes families spend time together on vacation. Vacations can have a lot of stress and a lot of pressure because you're not at home. You don't have your home base. You don't have all the toys at home, etc. All right. So vacations also aren't always the least stressful times. The Shabbos table. You're at the Shabbos table. So this is our chance to model for our children, you know, what we're supposed to be. We speak Lashon Hara. So let me tell you a story. The story is about probably the most famous Baal Tshuva in Israel. His name is Uri Zohar. Uri Zohar, in the 60s and the 70s, he was a comedian, an actor in Israel. And he made movies, things like that. Totally, totally non-religious. His movies were totally, totally... not Torah-tick. Okay, he writes about this. And he came to Baal Tshuva, and it was a big deal, because he's a famous personality. People knew him from TV, and from his, you know, comedy, and from his movies, and his movies are still shown. He's a famous actor in Eretz Yisrael, comedian actor. He became Baal Tshuva. So how did it happen exactly? So he has books about this. He wrote about how he became a Baal Tshuva. It's an amazing story. That somehow Uri Zohar became linked up with Rav Zilberman Zatzal. There's a present Rav Zilberman who runs the Zilberman Cheder in the Old City. His father. Father was a great tzaddik. Somehow Uri Zohar linked up with Rav Zilberman, and he was asking lots of questions. I think he was in his 40s already, and he was asking questions. You know, he felt his life, a certain degree, was empty. He didn't know, you know, he's there, he's successful, the money, but, you know, he felt emptiness inside. He had lots of questions. So Rav Zilberman Zatzal said to Uri Zohar, this is Uri Zohar writes this in his book, he said, look, I'm willing to answer all your questions. We have to have a deal. You come to my house for Shabbos, spend the Shabbos in my house, and then when Shabbos is over, if you have any questions, I'll answer your questions. But you know what, he said to him, you know what, Mr. Uri? You'll see, you won't have any questions after Shabbos is over. He said, but you know, I don't want you to drive to my house on Shabbos. You have to stay somewhere where you can walk. Fine. So Uri Zohar, you know, wealthy man, he stayed in a hotel for Shabbos, came over, and he spent the Shabbos in the home of the, he writes about it, in the Zilberman home. He spent the Shabbos there. Friday night, Shabbos day. And he saw what it was like, the Shabbos table, the kids interacting, the respect for their parents, the Dvar Torah, Hashem, etc. And he writes in his book, it comes to Havdalah time, and Uri Zohar says to Rabbi Zilberman, he hears him say Havdalah, he says, I have no more questions. I want to be religious. Teach me how to become religious. Absolutely amazing story. Uri Zohar, totally non-religious, totally secular, spends one Shabbos in the home of the Zilberman family. He wants to become religious. Now, Rav Zilberman was a great tzaddik. And how does the story apply to us, to you and me? So we've mentioned before, Rav Orlovich says, a very good mashal. Gedolim stories are like a compass. They point you in the right direction. That the average person should be on the level where you spend a Shabbos in their home, and by the time Shabbos is over, you want to become religious right away, that's a high madrega, halavai, people should reach that level. But the challenge for us is that, and this is a very correct challenge that all of us can take from this story. Someone comes to our Shabbos table, and they're at a Shabbos table. An Orthodox Jew, a non-observant Jew, does that person leave our table finding orthodoxy to be attractive? Something pleasant, something we want to be a part of. That anyone can shoot for. And everyone should shoot for. That everyone should, you have your Shabbos table. If somebody was there watching, somebody's there at your Shabbos table, what would they see? Would they leave your table saying, you know what, that's a nice thing? Would they find orthodoxy attractive? To be at the level where a non-observant Jew right away has to become religious, okay, that's a high madrigal, that's a Zilberman, it'll be something Rabbi Zilberman and his family, we also strive for that. But at least that it's positive. It says, wow, this is nice. People respect their parents, their Divrei Torah, the kids respect each other, the parents interact pleasantly, Zmiros, interesting discussions at the table, pleasant. That's a challenge all of us can reach, should strive for, and we can reach. And Lashon Hara, this goes directly against it. Can you imagine? Think about it. A non-observant Jew comes to your Shabbos table. Here he is, example. There's a better word than example. We'll think of it. His first example, 2 hours, an Orthodox observant family, and they're at the Shabbos table, Lashon Hara this, Lashon Hara that one this, saying negative here. That's the way we present orthodoxy. That's terrible. I think that one good way to really focus on not having Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table, after Echa Kamocha, and to more broadly, to broaden it a little, think about the Uri Zohar story. Would someone come to our table for 2 hours and leave finding orthodoxy attractive, appealing, or not? Or exposure. First exposure. So a person's first exposure to orthodoxy, 2 hours, And again, it's a compass, it's a goal to reach. That's Uri Zohar, that's the Zilberman family, and this is Hafrecha Kamocha. Okay, that's Mitzvah Beis. Next, let's go on. Mitzvah Gimel. Mitzvah Gimel is, of course, judging your friend favorably. Bitzedek Tishbor Am Yisrael. Let's read. V'lifa'amim, again, v'lifa'amim, sometimes, over nami b'mitzvah sasei, t'vitzedek tishbor am Yisrael. Sometimes a Lashon Hara speaker violates the special mitzvah sasei to judge others favorably. Kagom. Shero es chaveiro shediber. Olasamaisa. You see your friend do something. All right. V'yesh b'davar hazeh, l'shachto l'tzad ha-tov, u'l'tzad tzchus olahavcho. And you could judge what he did in a positive way or in a negative way. Okay. Even if he's an average person, there's a mitzvah saseh to judge the person favorably and to assume and to believe what he did was okay. So if an average person does something which could be good or could be bad, there's a chiyuv to judge him favorably. Well, we're going to skip the brackets. We'll get back to it, Bezr Hashem, in a few minutes. Umi sheholech umesaper bignuso avur hadibur hazeh shediber o amais hazeh so'asa. And if you go and speak to Lashon Hara about what the person did, o amakabel, etc., v'lodonos olchav schus, or mitzvah sezo, you violate this mitzvah. Well, a person did something which is iffy, quite 50-50. So, you went and told someone. So when you went and told that person, clearly you're assuming it was negative. So when you speak the Lashon Hara, you're in violation of judging the person favorably. So people who speak Lashon Hara violate this mitzvah. Notice the Chafetz Chaim says again, v'lifa'amim, sometimes. Not every time. Sometimes a person does something which is directly bad. And you know it's bad, 1,000 or 100%. So then, if you speak Lashon Hara about someone who did something which is objectively 100% bad, no way out, so that's still Lashon Hara, but you don't violate this mitzvah saseh. But very often, it's not so clear. So and there's an overlap that if you're a Lashon Hara speaker, you will end up judging people less favorably. And this is very true. We've discussed this before. A Lashon Hara speaker, is on the lookout for new material. If you know you spend time speaking Lashon Hara, so it's built into your day. Every day or two, I speak to this person, my friend, my girlfriend, my this, my that, speak to this person, that person, I'll speak Lashon Hara to them. And I'll speak Lashon Hara to them. Oh, so you're on the lookout for new material. So therefore, you're much more likely, if you see something which maybe yes, maybe no, you'll assume it's not proper in order that, oh, that's more food for the more Lashon Hara that I'll be speaking later. Very true. Lashon Hara speakers tend to train themselves, unfortunately, to judge others negatively. And Lashon, people who avoid Lashon Hara avoid this, fulfill this mitzvah. And we'll see in a few minutes, this mitzvah becomes crucial to avoiding Lashon Hara as well. Bezer Hashem, we'll see that in a few minutes. Well, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says here. A real mitzvah saseh. Now, the brackets that we skipped, he writes, that if the person is a Yerei Elokim, if the person is not average, he's a special Yerei Shemayim, then Nischayavnu Ladun Oso Lekav Schus Gamim Karov V'Nota Yoser Hadar Lekav Chov V'Lekav Schus. Even if it looks bad, if it's like, let's say 80-20 against, it looks 80% probably bad, 20% it was okay. If the person's a Yerei Elokim, you're supposed to really, you're mechuyev to assume the 20% that was for good. So it goes like this. If a person is a Beinoni, then if it's 50-50, basically, you're mechuyev to judge them favorably. If it's, let's say, 80-20 against, you're not mechuyev to judge favorably, you're supposed to. It's a midah tova. We'll get to it in a second. You're supposed to try to judge favorably, even if it looks bad. You're supposed to try to, but it's not a chiyuv. That's not the chiyuv deraisa. Rather, that's a very good midah to develop, to try to judge favorably. If the person's a Yerei Elokim, especially Yerei Shemayim, so then, even if it's 80-20 against, it looks really bad, you're mechuyev, because of their background, they're Yerei Shemayim, you're mechuyev to assume the 20% that it was positive. Oh, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Oh, let's see the footnote here. Footnote Gimel. The Chafetz Chaim quotes the source for this. It's from the Ram. It's a mitzvah saseh. Look in the footnote Gimel. He nimnes b'sefer ha-mitzvos, mitzvah kufayin zayin. This mitzvah is listed in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot. We mentioned before, in earlier classes, the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot. He listed all the Tayag mitzvot. And this is one of them. Kufayin Zayin. Uvechola, part of the mitzvah is, She'ischayiv she'yadin eschaveru kapschus. V'leifarish ma'isa v'dvarav el letov. We're mechuyiv to judge our friends favorably. It's a mitzvah deraisa. And he quotes a Gemara in Shavuos. And other sources mention it as well, that it's a real mitzvah saseh, of judging someone favorably, and Lashon Hara speakers, unfortunately, often end up violating this. Okay. Now, I've mentioned before, the Chafetz Chaim in his footnotes here really goes into tremendous depth. He quotes the Gemaras and the Rambams and the Rishonim, and he questions back and forth. I mentioned there are Talmid Chachamim. They are kolim that they spend months studying the Chafetz Chaim be'iyun with the Sfarim and the Gemaras and the Rishonim and the Svaras. I mentioned the Sefer Nesivos Chaim. The Nesivos Chaim is a Sefer that goes through the entire Sefer Chafetz Chaim be'iyun, analyzing every line. So here in the footnotes, the Chafetz Chaim develops an entire Dvar Torah here, Akasha, Teretz, and we're going to go through it now. It's in the Chafetz Chaim footnote here. We're going to do part of it outside, and just the last part we'll do inside. In footnote Gimel here, he quotes the following sources. It's here in the Makoros. It's here in the Makoros. Oh, it says as follows. In the Chafetz Chaim points out that there appears to be a contradiction in the Rambam regarding this mitzvah of judging someone favorably. Oh. So in the Sefer HaMitzvot, mitzvah Kufayin Zayin, we saw already that the Rambam writes that part of the mitzvah is that you must judge your friend favorably. It's here, source number 4. In the source sheets, this is a copy of the mitzvah Kufayin Zayin in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and the Rambam writes, he's explaining what the mitzvah is. See, the basic mitzvah of Bitzedek Shavuot Misecha is about Dayanim, judges. That judges have to judge everyone properly in the proper way in court, and included in that mitzvah is not just for judges but every person to judge people favorably. The Rambam writes. That the Rambam writes, there's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, so I say, to judge people favorably. Okay, that's crystal clear. That we read already. Now, what's interesting is, look in source number 3. Source number 3 is the Rambam and Hilchos Deos, Perikei. The Rambam is discussing how to be a good Jew, how to be a good person, the right way to live your life, the proper midos to have when you live your life. And he writes here in Halacha Zayin as follows. Talmud Chacham, he's talking about a Talmud Chacham, he's giving advice how a Talmud Chacham should live his life. Lo yetzoek vitzo veyach b'shas dibiro kebehemos v'chayos. A Talmud Chacham shouldn't walk around yelling all the time, like the animals yell. No, that's not the way a Talmud Chacham interacts. Don't raise your voice too much. Speak calmly. Speak pleasantly with people. That's what the Rambam says. And when you speak calmly and pleasantly, don't go too far. Like you're showing off, like you only whisper all the time. No, you talk normally, pleasantly. But then he says, Vidon. And judge every person favorably. Praise other people, etc. What's interesting about this halacha? Again, it begins, Talmud Chacham, lo yehet soek v'tzoveach. A Talmud Chacham shouldn't always be yelling, etc., etc. And then he says, V'don es kol adam l'kaf schus. What is implicit in this Rambam? What comes out of this Rambam? That judging your friend favorably is a full-fledged mitzvah, or it's a very good, appropriate thing to strive for, but it's not a full-fledged mitzvah. Which one? Correct. The second one. It's the second one. Why? Why? Correct again. Because of the first two words, Talmud Chacham. The Rambam here introduces this halacha for a Talmud Chacham. It sounds like this is something special. That for the regular, ordinary Jew, this doesn't necessarily apply, but for a Talmud Chacham, special, learned person, he has additional levels of obligations. He should strive for a higher level. So it's very interesting that the Rambam quotes this halacha of judging others favorably in the halacha that talks to a Talmud Chacham. The implication is that for the average person, it's not an absolute chiyuv. This is a contradiction. This is the same Rambam. The same Rambam who wrote the Hilchos Deos is the same Rambam who wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Chafetz Chaim raises this contradiction in the footnotes. How come the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos is very clear that it's a real, full-fledged mitzvah Seder Aisa? But here in Hilchos Deos, it sounds like it's the very, very nice thing to do. You should strive for. A Talmud Chacham has to do this, and the average person is just supposed to do this. Just try to do this. That's a contradiction. Oh. So the Chafetz Chaim quotes a beautiful answer from a third sefer the Rambam wrote. It's beautiful. The Rambam wrote Yad HaChazaka. That's one source. Sefer HaMitzvot is another source. And he quotes a third Sefer of the Rambam. The Rambam's Perush HaMishnah is the Pirkei Avos, and the Chafetz Chaim uses that. He uses that to answer the question. Oh, this is source number five. Source number five is the Perush HaMishnah of the Rambam on the famous Mishnah Pirkei Avos in Perek Aleph. In my version, it's Mitzvah Vav. In Mishnah Vav, other versions, it's different. In Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, it says, "Have I done as Kol HaAdam Lekavskus?" Judge everyone favorably. Now, the Rambam there discusses the topic, and he says the following idea. Oh. The Rambam writes, it's marked off in source number 5. Ukisheyihye bilti yadua, if the person is someone who you don't know, vehamaisa bilti machriya, and the action the person does can go either way. It's not clear. It's not clear if it's good or bad. Then, based on chasidus, you have to judge the person favorably. Now, if he uses the words chasidus, chasidus means something extra, something special, not the absolute basic mitzvah chiyuvis deraisa. So the Rambam here is similar to the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, that it's not an absolute chiyuv. What does he say here? He says, the person is bilti yadua. So the Chafetz Chaim makes the following diyuk, and he points out as follows, that there are two levels of judging someone favorably. If you know the person, chaveiro, I know this person, he's an acquaintance of mine. I know he's an average good Jew, If you know the person, then there is a mitzvah chiyuvis deraisa to judge them favorably. But what if the person is a stranger, a total stranger? You know he's Jewish, but a total stranger. You don't know him at all. So there, the Rambam is teaching us that although it's good to judge him favorably, and you're supposed to judge him favorably, that's not a mitzvah sase deraisa. The Torah doesn't demand of you. The Torah doesn't demand of you to make assumptions which might have no basis in reality at all. This guy might be a Rashi. You don't know. Again, if you know he's average, then you have chiyuv to judge him favorably. But he might be a Rashi. You don't know him at all. He's a stranger. So the Rambam here is saying like this. If the guy's a stranger, and it's 50-50, whether what he did was good or bad, then, although it isn't a mitzvah saseh d'araisa to judge him favorably, but you're supposed to work on trying to judge him favorably. A Talmud Chacham should judge him favorably. Derech HaChassidus should judge him favorably. Oh, if the person is someone you know, chaveiro, and you know he's average, but I know he's not a Rosh, I know he's average, then it's a chiyuv to judge him favorably. That's the deal the Chafetz Chaim makes here, based on the Perush HaMishnayos. And it fits perfectly in the Rambam's language. Let's go back. Let's look carefully. There's a subtle difference. The Chafetz Chaim noticed this difference. There's a subtle difference between the language of the Rambam in source number 4 and in source number 3. In source number 4, when he's defining the mitzvah saseh deraisa, the Rambam writes, Chayav adam ladun es chaveiro lekavschos. Judge your friend. There's a chiyuv, a mitzvah saseh deraisa. Judge your friend favorably. Oh. However, in source number 3, in Hilchos Deos, when the Rambam is talking to the Talmud Chacham, what's the language? V'don es kol ha'adam l'kaf zchus. Judge every person favorably, not chaveiro. So the Chafetz Chaim says that once you see the language of the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, and you read it carefully, then you go back and you notice this very subtle nuanced difference, this very subtle diuk, the difference in the language between the Rambam and Hilchos Deos and the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. This is all in the long footnote here in the Chafetz Chaim. I'll just read the last piece to you. It's in the end of the second very long paragraph in footnote Gimel. We were A. Ki divreinu emes. See what I'm saying is true. To be Mishnah de Avos in Perush HaMishnayos and Avos. V'chein b'Rambam Hilchos Deos. To Iri, that's talking about the word Iri. It's a very good Aramaic word to know. Aleph, Yud, Yud, Resh, Yud. Or Mem, Yud, Yud, Resh, Yud. It means talk about, discussing. Very common Aramaic word. Iri or Mairi. It's a good word to know. Iri b'midos. It's talking about having good midos in general. Nemar b'haveidanes kol adam l'kafschus. But in the Gemara and Shavuos and the Sefer Mitzvos of Rambam, to Iri Beber HaMitzvah Saseh, the Mamash Mitzvah Deraisa, what does it say? Don es Chaveiro Lekavschus, Chaveiro Chamashma, Echad Makiro, Sheinenu Russia. You are aware the person is not a Russia. A beautiful idea, a beautiful word here in the Chafetz Chaim. We're learning this together. This is a classic example of how the footnotes work here. The footnotes, he's analyzing the Gemaras, the Rambams, the Peres and Mishnayos, all back and forth. On top is the basic halacha. As we discussed in the very, very beginning, the Chafetz Chaim wanted that this Sefer can be learned on two levels. It can be learned the straight bottom line halacha l'maisa, in a relatively straightforward level, but on the bottom, he wrote the footnotes for all the analysis to see where everything's coming from. So this is Bitzedek Yishpat HaMisech, and this links up with Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara speakers, unfortunately, tend to violate this halacha, and it's something everyone really has to work on. Now, in last class, we discussed how the Lav of Chanufa links up to Klal Vav, Sif Beis, and Sif Hei, that how one can avoid the Issur of hearing Lashon Hara, and how that links up with Chanufa. All right. Mitzvah Gimel, that we just learned, links up directly with Klal Vav, Sif Aleph. And this is very, very, very Lemaisa. This might be the most, mamash, one of the most Lemaisa parts of the whole Sefer Chafetz Chaim, because this is real life. It goes as follows. So we've done already Klal Vav, Sif, Hay, and Beis and Hay. Now let's see Klal Vav, Sif Aleph. This is the first halacha about the Isser of being Mekabel Lashon Hara. To be Mekabel Lashon Hara. And we're going to see how this Isser is totally linked up and interrelated, intertwined with the Mitzvah Saseh of Bitzedek Yishpat HaMisech. So let's read. Klal Vav Sif Aleph. Asu Mekabel Lashon Hara Minat Torah. It's Asu Mekabel Lashon Hara. Etc. To Hainu. Now what? Let's listen carefully. What is the definition of being Mekabel Lashon Hara? Shelo Na'amin Bilibeinu Shasipar Emes. You can't believe in your heart that the story is true. That's A. B. This is the key line. Ki al yedei ze, because if you believe it, yevu ze be'einenu, mi shenema arlav. The person who was spoken about has been degraded and debased in your eyes, lowered in your eyes. The iser deraisa of the Mekabel Lashon Hara is to believe the Lashon Hara, because then the person becomes degraded and lowered in your eyes. Oh, that's Nisr Derais. Now, this is a problem. Someone speaks Lashon Hara to you. A friend of yours tells you Lashon Hara. She's not supposed to. Maybe she hasn't seen these classes. Told her to try out the classes. Okay, anyway. She hasn't seen the classes. So she speaks Lashon Hara. Your friend speaks Lashon Hara to you. Fine. Now, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to assume she's lying? She's been your friend for 10 years, 15 years. Maybe it's a relative. They don't lie to you. What are you supposed to do? A person speaks to you, somebody you trust, a friend, and they speak Lashon Hara to you. And if you believe what they said, it's Mamash Asur D'Oraisa. So you know, we discussed, and this is severe. The Chafetz Chaim compares. We discussed. We gave several examples in the Sefer. Many examples in the Sefer. He compares speaking lashon hara, hearing lashon hara to what? What does he compare it to? Correct, to eating treif. So it's like a person puts treif food in your mouth. What are you supposed to do? You spit it out. But what are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to assume my friend's lying to me? How am I supposed to do that? They don't lie to me. I know they're not lying to me. What am I supposed to do? This is a difficult question. The Chafetz Chaim addressed this question in the footnote. Footnote Aleph in Klal Vav over there is crucially important. And he says as follows. He says, someone speaking Lashon Hara to you, what are you supposed to do? So he says, one possibility is, okay, Shelo L'Amin L'Masaper. You don't believe the person. Okay, if you can, you don't believe the person. But what if you can't not believe the person? What are you supposed to do? Listen to this. He says, Im yesh alav tzad zechus belav hachi. If there's an angle of merit, if there's one way of viewing it, that it's not negative, kikon shenucha lomar shadin im, or maybe the person was right, what they did. Olo yada esisu, he didn't know it was usher. He totally didn't know, he made a mistake, totally by mistake. Or, it comes to speech as well. Maybe he didn't know what it, maybe he misspoke. He didn't realize what he was saying. Maybe he had a different intention. Here, now this is the punchline. This is footnote Aleph. If I were you, I would underline this in your Sefer. I would under, and mine is underlined twice. Oh. You're not commanded to necessarily assume the person's lying. Rak b'derech klal go yiskabel b'rayonav genus al misha siper. Don't accept in your thoughts something negative about the person being spoken about. In other words. You can accept the facts if you can find a way to say, although the facts might be true the way you're saying them, I'm not going to have a more negative view. I'm not going to absorb a negative message about the person because, and this is the punchline, I'm going to assume there must be an explanation. I don't know the whole story. There's another side to the story. The Chafetz Chaim here is hinting back to our Halacha Mitzvah. Mitzvah Seh Gimel. The way to avoid Mimakabel Lashon Hara is to work on saying to yourself, there must be an explanation. I don't know the whole story. I heard what this person said. I'm not going to assume they're lying. They're probably telling me the truth. They're probably telling you the truth from their angle. But there's another side to the story. There must be an explanation. I don't have all the facts. And the truth is, as we know, what do we know? You don't have all the facts. How many times has it happened to you that someone saw you do something and thought what you did was bad and spoke about it, but it turns out something else, there's another angle here. The Chafetz Chaim says that if we train ourselves to view people positively, aside from the mitzvah saseh, of that mitzvah itself, that is the way, that is the best way, sometimes that's the only way to avoid being mekabel lashon hara. Because you can say to yourself, the bare facts that I heard are probably true, that's what the person probably did, but I'm not going to accept any negative implications because there must be an explanation. There's another side to the story, and we know there is, there almost always is, there's another side to the story. So Mitzvah Gimel helps us avoid the Lav De'araisa of Kabbalah Lashon Hara. This is so true in real life. It comes up very, very often. We have to train ourselves to say, there must be an explanation. I don't know all the facts. I don't know the whole story. I don't know. Someone tells you something, you say to yourself, okay, you know what? That sounds a little strange. You know, I'm going to reserve judgment till I find out more. There's probably another side. And often there is another side to the story. But very, very often, and again, think about yourself. How often has someone misjudged you, there's another side to the story. Well, so I just want to give one example of judging someone else favorably. It's a beautiful example. Just something like a one in a million. It's a one in a million, but you never know. This is source number one in the source sheets. It's in Rav Nevensol Sichot to Vayikra, pages Kufpe and Kufpe Av. So Rav Nevensol Shlita, he's discussing here being Melamed Tzchus, and he says, Limud Tzchus, judging someone favorably, it's an avoda. Like you have to work at it, to work at get into this midah. Again, whether it's a full-fledged mitzvah seder araisa, or whether you're supposed to get to, it depends on, we discuss the details. But you're supposed to get to that midah. He tells the story about the tzaddik, a tzaddik in our time, Rav Aryeh Levin Zatzal. Beautiful story. Rav Aryeh Levin writes, Maisa b'shnei didim tovim. Rav Emsal writes, there were two good friends. Okay. They worked together, the Mossad Ploni, for many years. Asrot Shanim, they worked together for many years. Then one of them died. Okay. So they're at the Levaya. He shot for Rav Aryeh. Rav Aryeh Levin was there. So you're at the Levaya. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are friends. So Shimon died. Okay. So they're at the Levaya. And at the Levaya, Reuven's following along on the way to the cemetery. And Rav Aryeh Levin is there. So Rav Aryeh Levin and Reuven are walking along, following the Shimon on the way to the cemetery. Okay. Shimon was just nifter. Now, Be'odam posim achar mitas haniftar, b'chutzas Yerushalayim, they're walking after the mace who's being carried out of Yerushalayim. Poreis lepeta mechaburas hamalavim. Reuven leaves the crowd. The nichnas lo pachot v'lo yoter lechanut atzitzim u'pirchei noy. Jumps into a flower shop. Reuven's friend just died. He's at the funeral. He's walking along and he pops out to a flower shop. This is strange. This is not strange as in striking. This is strange as in weird. Correct. Now, then he comes. Then Liachar Regakat. A few moments later, Yatsev Yado Atis. He's carrying his flower pot, and he comes back to the Levaya. Rav Aryeh Levin hit Kasher Akel Ranu Erev. He couldn't absorb what he said. He couldn't digest what he just saw. Haim Adam Zeh Hayamamish Yedid Nefesh. He's a good friend. He lo Matzah Shama Tima Yoser Knos Atis. He couldn't find a better time to buy a flower pot. Weird, strange. In the middle of his friend's Levaya. This father of Aryeh Levin, he said, look, he says, I have to ask him. I have to ask him, what was going on over here? Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe I have to ask him and give him rebuke, give him advice. We learned last week, give him advice. V'nigash u'bikesh me'oso. To explain, levar lo pesherinyan, explain what happened. All right. The friend told the following story. This friend Reuven worked in a hospital for Mitzuraim, someone who has Tsaras. We use the modern term, they use leprosy. The Tsaras of the Torah is not really leprosy, but nowadays when they talk about Tsaras, so it's leprosy. It's a very, very contagious disease, Lolein. So what happened? Reuven had a friend who was in a hospital for lepers, Lolein. Visha oso yedid. And Reuven took care of him. Okay. Now Misha Niftar. Now Reuven had another friend. This friend in the hospital just died. Now what they do is, since it's so contagious, they do is they burn all of the possessions of the mitzora, of the leper. They burn all his possessions because it's contagious, so they don't want it around. So big shirofe besachlan, we shirofe kol chafetzav. Kemukubal. That's the norm. But then this friend of Reuven's owned tefillin, and they were going to Rachmanu Litzlan burn the tefillin. Reuven said, wait a second. Let me find a way that you don't have to burn the tefillin. How do you not burn the tefillin? What are you going to do? He says, look, I will buy a flower pot, and you'll bury the tefillin in this flower pot, and then put it into the ground. And that way, right, and that way, the tefillin are put away. There's no chance of being contagious, and it's totally, totally put away. That's why you had to have the utzis. And apparently, if the tefillin were in a flower pot and in the ground, then they weren't afraid of it becoming contagious. So he said, he explained, he had to go buy the flower pot right away. Why? Because he saw that as the Levaya was coming to an end, let me say it more clearly. Right. He said that he's going to buy this flower pot by noon tomorrow. That's what, by noon tomorrow. Okay. So then, that night his friend died. Then the next morning his friend died. So now, during the Levaya, in the morning he realized, wait a second, if I wait till after the Levaya is over, I'm not going to get back to the leper hospital before the time. They're going to burn the tefillin, Rachmana Litzlan. So we had to quickly buy the flower pot right away, so that right after the way, he ran back, got there just in time. This is a one in a million that a guy leaps out of a Levaya to buy a flower pot in order to have tefillin buried in the flower pot in the ground. That's a one in a million. Rabbi Levin said, we see at kama yesh l'habeth b'skuso shel hazulas. You have to really think about being done, judging others favorably. Even when it's rachok ma'od, you're supposed to try. We just said you're supposed to try, get to that level, view it favorably. There must be an explanation. This is a classic example. Imagine someone comes back and says to you, I was at a funeral, I saw the weirdest thing. Reuven was in line, and as he's in the procession, he jumps out, buys a flower pot, and comes back. Can you believe Reuven? How could he happen to be so thoughtless? Someone could say that. So what you're supposed to try to say when you to respond is, now it's hard to say, it's hard to believe the person made that up. So if you're listening, you're supposed to say to yourself, you know, wow, there must be an explanation. So, and this is a classic example. So if you work on mitzvah gimel, then it'll help you avoid the lav of the makabel lashon hara. Oh, so today we learned mitzvahs beis and mitzvah gimel. Mitzvah beis, after echa kamocha, that a person who speaks lashon hara also definitely, obviously violates after echa kamocha. You're not treating your friend the way you'd want to be treated. Think about if it was you. Think about the sense of violation. Think about a Shabbos table. This is what we want to present at our Shabbos table, full of lashon hara, everyone. The beautiful story now it's Rav Uri Zohar and the Silverman family. Oh, then we learned mitzvah gimel. Mitzvah gimel is judging others favorably. Lashon hara speakers tend, since they're looking for more material, they tend to judge others not favorably, to find more material for lashon hara. We learned some of the details of that mitzvah. We learned the Chafetz Chaim, he noticed the stira and the Rambams and the good solution. And then we discussed very, very, very lemaisa, that judging others favorably sometimes is the best way, sometimes is sometimes really the only way to avoid being makabel lashon hara. Because you can believe the bare facts might be true, but if you train yourself to say there must be an explanation, then you're not in violation of Kabbalah's lashon hara, because you're not accepting a negative impression of the person, and the person is not more degraded in your eyes. Okay, we'll stop here.